Welcome to Pineapple Pizza Podcast,
where we serve up delicious slices of mythology,
cryptozoology,
and urban legends.
I'm Ashley.
To anyone who doesn't know me that well, the fact that I'm laughing right now probably horrifies you.
I'm Emily.
What are the chances?
I don't know.
Like bum bum bum. 50-50? Oh.
And I'm Lindsay.
I banished you to the shadow of death. I corrupt you to the netherworld from which no one has come.
Pineapple Pizza Podcast. Stop on by for a slice, a story, and a laugh. Coming January 2021.
Welcome to Reverie True Crime. I'm your host, Paige, and today I'll be telling you the story of Kanika Jenkins. I'm also going to go over some theories about what some people think actually happened the night of Kanika's disappearance and ultimately her death. Let's get started. Kanika Jenkins was born and raised in Chicago, Illinois, to her mom, Teresa Martin. By all accounts, she and her mom had an amazing relationship. You can find multiple pictures and videos online of them laughing, joking around, and just having fun together. In 2014, Kanika had just gotten a job at a nursing home. In room 926 of the Crown Plaza Chicago O'Hare Hotel in Rosemont, Kanika Jenkins attended Irene Roberts' birthday party with her friends. Her mom let her borrow her car that evening so she could go to the party. Allegedly, 36 people were in and out of room 926 that night. Hotel parties have been popular for decades, especially among young 20-somethings. Kanika was 19 at the time and just wanted to go out and have a great time with people that she believed were her friends. The party kicked off on a Friday night around 11:30 on September 8th of 2017. By the accounts of some people there, they said they didn't see Kanika smoke any weed or partake in any drugs, that she was just drinking a little alcohol. Her friends were on Facebook Live that night, and you can hear Kanika say in the background, "I'm not drunk." To be completely fair, a lot of us have said that when we are in fact drunk. A male acquaintance of others at the party walked in and claimed Kanika was swaying back and forth while giving him a big hug. Witnesses said Kanika was not at all herself that night. She seemed upset about something. She would be dancing around and then she would go sit by herself, looking really sad. Some saw her wandering the hotel halls with her buddies, and surveillance cameras showed she was stumbling towards the front desk a little after 3 in the morning. After this, allegedly, nobody knew where she went. About an hour later, her mom was called, and she immediately went to the hotel to look for her daughter. The search for Kanika started at 5:30 in the morning. As a mom would, Teresa went around the whole hotel, knocking on every door, wanting to know if anyone had seen her daughter or if she was possibly in another room. Eventually, a hotel employee was upset and annoyed about this and called 911. The hotel management was very uncooperative, telling Teresa they couldn't show her any of their surveillance footage until Kanika was officially reported missing to authorities. The police were notified and, reportedly, they didn't seem to be in a hurry to do anything. The police finally reported her missing on Saturday at 1:15 in the afternoon. There appeared to be no sense of urgency on the police's part at all. Here are a few of the 911 calls that were made that morning. Some are from Teresa, and some are from the hotel employees.
Hello? Roseline 911, where's your emergency?
Hi, I'm calling from the Crown Plaza, Chicago here. I'm actually calling because there was an incident, I guess, last night where a lady was mentioning about her daughter going missing in our hotel at the Crown Plaza.
Okay.
We did mention this. Actually, the police in Roseland have a report about it already. But the only thing is we have the guest, the mother of the daughter here at the hotel, and she's knocking door to door in our guest rooms, asking and disturbing our guest.
Okay. What floor is she on?
9th floor, but she's going to every single floor.
Okay. What's her? What's she wearing?
She's wearing a black sweater.
Male, or I'm sorry, female, white,
female.
Hispanic.
African American.
Okay, black sweater and what else?
It's a black sweater and jeans.
Okay. Do you guys have a report number for the call from the other time?
I don't have the report number at hand, unfortunately. Yeah, I don't have the report number. I know that my assistant general manager is the one that dealt with it though in the morning, and he has the report, but he's gone for the day.
I know it was early this morning. Do you remember what time?
They were dealing with it the whole day, I guess. So when I came in at 4, the police were here, so.
Okay. All right, I will have somebody head over there.
Thank you so much.
All right, no problem.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
Where's the address of your emergency?
Yes, I'm at the Crown Plaza at O'Hare Airport. And I was calling because my daughter came to this to a party here last night, a gathering with her friends. And now her friends, they said that they left on the front of the hotel and she's not able to be found now. She's 19 years old.
And you said that this, and you said the Crown Plaza at O'Hare Airport?
Yes. Yes, and they said that when her friends was asking earlier today, like about 4 o'clock in the morning, because they run the video cameras, they said that they didn't have no camera. But now I came and it was a lady, she said that if she heard music, and she asked me that I want to go upstairs, and we went upstairs on the 11th floor, and it was someone came to the room, and she said that she did see my daughter there with a group of girls and a couple of guys. But that's all she just saw because she was busy trying to get reception on her phone.
All right, well then, you know what? Are you sure you don't mean the Crown Plaza in Rosemont?
Yes, yes, it is. I'm sorry. The Crown Plaza in Rosemont. That's exactly where it's at.
No, it's okay. And have you spoke? And you said you spoke with the
front desk. I'm sitting outside right in front of the hotel in a parking lot right now.
And they were saying that they haven't seen your daughter since she left, or?
No, it's a different set. It's a different, it's a new shift. And they said that they haven't seen it. Well, of course, they wouldn't have seen it because this is like 3 or 4 in the morning. And I just seen that she was here because I just found the ticket. Where they entered this hotel, it was at 1:36 p.m. So hold on, this part, her ticket, because this is on the 6th. My daughter wasn't here on the 6th.
Okay, and real quick, I'm just going to see if maybe she was here at all. What's your daughter's name?
Her name is Kenika Jenkins.
All right, I can spell her.
The room wasn't registering her name. She came with some friends here.
And I just want to verify. I actually just came in myself. Probably been on a trip for about 45 minutes. So I just want to make sure that maybe she didn't get arrested and sent on her. You know what I mean? I just want to double check everything.
But okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. But it doesn't look like we had any run-ins with her last night at all. Do you think it's possible maybe she went to one of her friends' houses or, she's probably...
No, No, actually, because she had my car. She was driving my car. She know I don't like nobody to drive my car because my insurance will not pay for nobody, no one besides her. And her friends kept calling my phone. I told them to stay out here. They stayed out here, but they called me like about 3 in the morning. I was laying in bed. I just had breast surgery. I fought breast cancer, so I'm, you know, sedated off medication early, and they telling me she out here. So once I rejuvenated, strengthened up myself enough to get up and drive out here to look for her. Once they brought me my car, I came right out here, and I came to the hotel, and I showed them a picture of her, and I asked them if they see it, and it was a lady in the lobby. And she heard me asking at the front desk, and she said it was music. She did hear music. She called the one downstairs to report the room, and come to find out it was the people next door. And when we knocked on the door, that person said that she did see my daughter downstairs. With it was like 4 of them, and it was 4 of them. And she said my daughter, she was with 3 of her friends, but her 3 friends said, which then, you know, these kids won't tell the truth. They said that she was, they went upstairs to get her cell phone. And when they went to get her cell phone, she was standing in the lobby, in the front lobby. And then when they came back down, she wasn't there anymore.
No, I completely understand. The one issue we have, and it's not necessarily that it's that as an issue, but she is an adult. She is 19 years old, and I mean, as of
right now, she's 19 years old. That's my daughter. She's 19. Her name is Kenika Jenkins, K-E-N-N-E-K-A.
No, yes. No, I remember that. You told me that she's 19. But what I'm saying is that. Is that she already, again, she's only been gone for a couple hours. She's, you know, I don't know, maybe she's, you know, she could be somewhere with one of her friends or something, because, I mean, it is only a couple hours since you hadn't seen her, correct? Or since her friends supposedly hadn't seen her?
Correct. Let's say about 3 to 4 hours now, they said. They told me. It was like 4:00 in the morning when he called me.
Yeah. Are you looking to file a missing persons report then, or are you just?
My phone is tight.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry, Sarah. I just want to know: is it possible that maybe they can look at the cameras and see? It's because they send the police out here and ask them to look at the cameras and see if they've seen her on their cameras around that time.
I was about to say, even if I did send an officer, it would take a little bit in order for us to get the camera footage and for us to pass it on to the detectives division.
Okay. So what would you suggest?
Well, again, the only thing I would suggest maybe is just give her a couple hours. You know, she could have went somewhere with one of her other friends. I mean, and who knows what her friends are saying is true, you know what I mean?
Exactly. You could tell not to be saying, you could tell, it don't sound right. I'm a parent. I've been young before. And it's not sounding right. It don't sound right, period. That's why I came out here myself. Because it sounded like they had been drinking, you know, honestly.
Yeah.
And I asked them, did she drink? And they said she had only one cup. You know, but, okay, my daughter ain't the type that normally, she can't even take liquor. Her liquor level is just like mine. We can't take liquor. We cannot take liquor. We take a sip of liquor, we drunk. Honestly.
No, I completely understand.
And I'm like, one cup is too much for her, you know? And I asked them. And then they end up with her cell phone. I pay her cell phone bill every month to make sure my daughter has a phone. How did she leave her phone? I don't understand. Why would she leave her cell phone with you all and just go disappear? And she know I just had surgery. You know, she know my predicament.
No, yeah. Well then, so that in that case, what I would recommend, just, you know, go home, relax a little bit, give it some time. Of all we know, she very well could still be in the room. She could just be passed out. You know, again, you know how it is. You drink it the night before, you get, you know what I mean, whatever else have you. So just give it a couple hours. You know, maybe see if, you know, see if she'll get a hold of you again. You know, I mean, does she know your number?
Yes, she knows my number very well. She's very smart.
Okay, well then, like I said, you know, just give her a couple hours. You know what I mean? You know, give her some time. You know, again, maybe she, you know, maybe she went to one of her other friends' places, or maybe she is still in the room. You know, just knocked, you know, knocked out. You know what I mean?
Yes, I thank you. Okay, and so when do you, how long does it take for me to file a missing person report?
Well, you can file it at any time. It just, like I said, just give it a little bit of time. You know, if you hadn't heard from her by, I want to say about 10, 11 o'clock, then by all means, you know, give us a call again. You can come to the station, and we can help you out from there.
Okay, I live in Chicago. Would it be better for me to come back to you all station, or should I go in Chicago and make out a missing report?
You know, I think, you could try to file it out in Chicago. They may tell you to come here since it happened in our town, but I do know that since she lives with, obviously she lives with you in the city, I think this might actually fall on them. Or at least they'll be able to take the report, and then they'll get in contact with us, and we'll be able to help them out with the investigation from there.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter, whichever one. If I have to come back out here, I'll come back out here, but as long as, if we be able to see, but we'll, if I come, okay, I give it to tomorrow. It's 24 hours. After 24 hours, do you think they'll still be able to see the video camera of today, the surveillance camera
yes.
for today?
Yes. We'd definitely be able to get the footage.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
I'll do that. Okay, thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye.
Negative. I have that subject in the kitchen in a freezer. She is frozen solid.
10-4-600.
600, copies. Make notifications. Rosemont 601, you copy?
Jerry, what kitchen are you in? I'm in the rear by the dock area by the garbage.
Eventually, they did check the surveillance cameras. The cops watched the entrances and exits of the hotel, but didn't discover anything. Around 10 o'clock that night, the police finally found a piece of the puzzle. Kanika was seen staggering aimlessly through the hotel. We've all seen the footage. She's seen alone in the video, but a lot of people strongly believe the video is edited. I'll get into more of that later. She's not seen again until the police find her body in one of the hotel's walk-in freezers, in a kitchen that was rarely ever used. She was lying face down on her side with one of her shoes off. There were no signs of injuries except a cut on her foot. Kanika was pronounced deceased that Sunday morning at 12:48 a.m. Even after they left the freezer doors open for 2 hours, the temperature inside was 34 degrees Fahrenheit. Kanika's mom, Teresa, wasn't able to see her daughter until after 5 p.m. when Kanika was defrosted. This hotel never used that kitchen, and it was under construction. So what was the purpose of the freezer being on in the first place? Some speculate it's because there was a restaurant using space in that hotel. The lights were off in both chambers when she went in, or may have been placed in the freezer. The videos we have seen of Kanika show her, by herself, wandering around the hotel hallways. She seems completely out of it, eventually walking through the kitchen, and where she goes around the corner is where the freezers were. In that particular space, there are no cameras, Don't worry, I'll come back to this. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office declared on October 6, 2017, that Kanika's death was merely an accident. Now I'm going to read to you what was found in the autopsy report that was kind of strange. Of course, they found cold exposure. A. Found in walk-in freezer. B. Wishnevsky lesions in the stomach. Ethanol and Topamax intoxication. This is where it gets a little strange. A. Ethanol in peripheral blood, 112 milligrams. B. Ethanol in vitreous humor, 157 milligrams. C. Topamax in peripheral blood, 3,000 milliliters. D. Visibly impaired. Investigation. Superficial blunt force injuries. A. Abrasion of lateral right ankle. B. Contusion of postural lateral right leg. Cerebral edema nonspecific. Bilobate right lung. The opinion of the medical examiner says, this 19-year-old black female, Kanika L. Jenkins, died of hypothermia due to cold exposure in a walk-in freezer. Ethanol and Topamax intoxication were significant contributing factors in her death. At autopsy, the body was not frozen. The stomach demonstrated Wishnevsky lesions and the brain was swollen. The autopsy did not reveal any trauma that would have caused or contributed to her death. A superficial scrape was on the right ankle and a contusion was on the right leg. There was no other evidence of external or internal trauma. The manner of death was determined to be an accident. Now, Topamax is a medication that is used to treat epilepsy, and Kanika was not prescribed this medication. Topamax combined with alcohol can boost the effects of the medicine and the alcohol in some people, which can cause the acceleration of hypothermia. Topamax, like alcohol, can cause dizziness, impaired memory, impaired concentration, poor coordination, confusion, and impaired judgment. So those two things combined, you can only imagine how out of it she was. Kanika had lesions in her stomach that proved those side effects happened to her. The brain swelling that she had was reportedly not related at all to the cause of her death. The police department released a statement that day saying they didn't believe there was any foul play involved, that it was likely an accident, but they were still investigating. Kanika's friends have always had different accounts of what happened. No story has ever been consistent. After Kanika went missing, there was a text exchange between two of her friends. One friend texts the other that Kanika was drunk and missing. The friend replied back and said, "Find Kanika, I can't believe y'all lost her." Kanika's mother was told by some of the so-called friends that Kanika went downstairs with others. But when she went to get her cell phone from one of the hotel rooms, they let her go alone. Her friends had her car keys, which Kanika may have given to them, but when they looked in her car, they said her cell phone was found there, which to me is a little strange. Her mother refused to believe any of this because she wanted to know how the hell her daughter had made her way into a freezer by herself. She was barely able to walk from what we see on the surveillance footage, without bumping into the walls, but she opened steel doors to a freezer and just walked in? A well-known activist by the name of Andrew Holmes made some mighty big claims. After saying the police had let him see the footage and he saw with his own eyes Kanika going into the kitchen, opening the freezer, and walking right on in, shutting the door after. He said, "It was just an accident waiting to happen. Did anybody force her down there? Was anybody on the other side in that room when she got down there?" And the answer to that is no. Teresa finally views the footage herself on Thursday, September 15th, after the police released them. No footage to this day even shows Kanika walking into a freezer. Like I said before, the hotel manager and employees even said they do not have cameras in that kitchen. However, there actually is a motion detector camera in the kitchen, but it wasn't turned on until after Kanika was found. A report from September 14, 2017 says the police did interview 12 people who they said were involved in some way, but no one was arrested. By October 17, 2017, Kanika's case was closed. The Rosemont police chief said, quote, "While there are many theories, rumors, and much speculation floating around social media regarding the death of Miss Jenkins, none were supported with facts. While all leads and theories were investigated by our department, what we have reported throughout the investigation and again today are the facts. At this time, the Rosemont Public Safety Department has closed the death investigation of Kanika Jenkins and has classified this incident as an accidental death. There is no evidence that indicates any other conclusion." End quote. Kanika's family ended up filing a $50 million lawsuit against the hotel, the restaurant, and private security company as co-defendants. The family's lawyer showed pictures of a freezer door. It clearly showed that the lock button was on the outside. However, the picture wasn't that of the freezer that Kanika was found in, which was said to have a latch to shut it, but no lock, with a white handle in the shape of a circle on the inside, which means she could have been able to get out on her own. That is, if she wasn't already unconscious or dead before she was possibly placed inside. The lawyer also brought up the fact that the hotel could have locked off that specific kitchen area since they said they didn't use it. The kitchen did have plywood doors with a padlock, so it easily could have been locked up, so no one without a key could access it. The Crown Plaza Hotel responded to the lawsuit in a written statement. Quote, "The death of Kanika Jenkins was a tragedy. The lawsuit filed this week has no merit, and we will vigorously contest it." At a press conference today, held by counsel for Teresa Martin, the allegation was raised that there was a possibility that Miss Jenkins was locked in the freezer. Numerous media outlets have already disputed these erroneous claims of anyone locking Miss Jenkins in the freezer, referencing the video recorded by a motion-activated camera inside the kitchen. In addition, the freezer did not lock from the inside or outside and was functioning properly on the night in question. This is just another failed attempt to generate publicity for a frivolous lawsuit. End quote. I want to get into some of the theories that people who don't believe she just walked into the freezer suspect could have happened. These are not facts, but merely speculation. The fact alone that the hotel would not even check the surveillance videos immediately when they were told a 19-year-old went missing in their establishment is fishy to a lot of people in itself, especially Kanika's mother. It makes a lot of people think that the hotel is covering up for someone or possibly even a gang that severely hurt Kanika, possibly on accident or purposely killing her. Adding fuel to the fire, the photos of Kanika that were released to the public were analyzed carefully by everyone. These pictures show Kanika laying in an odd position. Her shirt was pushed up and her pants were pulled down some. You could see a little of the crack of her butt, and in front they were almost to her pelvic area. In videos, you can see her walking, and the pants are a little below her belly button, but not nearly as low as they are in these photos. Teresa was on the Dr. Oz show, where he tried to explain why Kanika's clothes could have been affected by the hypothermia, with what is called paradoxical undressing. Dr. Oz stated that someone suffering fatal hypothermia may feel a rush of heat when they attempt to undress themselves. He did make a point to say that more than likely it's not what happened, but it's a possibility. There has been no resolution as to why her clothes looked that way. The security footage, why didn't they want to look into it right away? You have a teenage girl missing. Why was there no urgency or care to just look at the footage? What would it have hurt to just do that? People think the workers at the hotel were altering the videos during the time before the police report was filed. There are people all over YouTube that have intricately broken down these videos and analyzed them to hell and back. Much like others have to many videos in the past that seem to be altered. I'll link some of those videos in the show notes and let you be the judge. I do urge you to watch them and even go down the rabbit hole of more of these videos. It's suggested that someone is following Kanika before the camera angle changes. At some point, she looks led, and at some points, it looks like she's being pulled. It really does look strange, if I'm being honest with all of you about how I feel and what I think about this situation. Also, at every exit and opportunity she had to get out, she seemed to stumble towards some of them, but it looks like someone was pulling at her or leading her not to go down those exits. This is what her body language seems to suggest. Now, this theory I'm about to tell you that I found, I don't necessarily believe, but since it is a theory that some insist could have happened, I want to tell you. Nothing is impossible, but this is one that, of all the theories, I'm not sold on. Some think she was a victim of organ trafficking. According to some people, the Crowne Plaza Hotel is a hotbed for organ trafficking. Organs on the black market can make people a lot of money, and if Kanika was in the wrong place at the wrong time, she could have been preyed on and killed for that purpose. Fueling this argument is a post on one of Kanika's Instagram pictures. Quote, "We didn't mean to kill her. She had a heart attack whilst we were raping her." End quote. I haven't seen this, so I cannot confirm it. This is just floating around online, and I can't say yes, I've seen it and can attest to this being true. This theory suggests that when the hotel was told she was missing, employees took her body and put her in the freezer until her organs could be collected. Not that they actually were collected, but just that she was being frozen. Another theory is that the hotel owner gave her friends $200 to get Kanika to the hotel so they could collect her organs. When Kanika's sister came out and said there was no way she could have opened that door by herself, let alone blackout drunk, it really made people think there had to be someone else down there with her. I did find an Instagram comment section posted on a website, and even the website says this could be a real thread And maybe it's photoshopped. This is just a theory we don't know for a fact. It doesn't show the picture of the post that this is under, but it shows the comment. Somebody comments and says, "Don't try and play the victim. The world sees right through you all. Hope you guys get life and the death penalty." Irene Roberts replies, "Girl, comment. You don't even know what the fuck you're talking about." Bitch, I didn't put her in the motherfucking freezer. The dumb motherfucking bestie did, since y'all want to know. Her fucking best friend put her in the freezer, because the boy killed her. His name is Bernard Radley, and after that, she told us not to say anything. Bernard Radley has been brought up a lot in these theories. One report says, "We have identified a third person now listed as a person of interest in Kanika's murder." Bernard Radley has been identified as one of the men who was at the party. Radley allegedly helped dispose of Kanika's body after she refused to partake in what is now believed to be an unusually creepy hotel sex-style party. We have learned that it was not $200, but actually $2,000 that was offered to Irene and Monifa and their friends. And in return, they offered up Kanika. Kanika allegedly refused, and that's when the party turned deadly and her body was disposed of. This has not been confirmed, but a lot of people do believe this. In this clip, people say they can hear someone say, "We about to murder somebody." I can hear, "We about to somebody," but I can't tell if it says murder in the middle. You guys tell me what you think.
Slow your roll, Sean.
People even take the organ harvesting theory to bigger assumptions, and I definitely have a hard time with this one, but it's a theory, so I'll tell you. At the time, Selena Gomez had a kidney transplant in Chicago. It's said that she allegedly bought the organ from the Crown Plaza. Though she has posted pictures and said that her best friend was the organ donor, many just do not believe it. I want to revisit the Facebook Live videos that her friends were posting, and I've seen multiple times and have listened to so closely. And I have heard what people claim they hear as well. One of the last videos we see of Kanika alive in room 926, people think they heard a female moaning and screaming for help, and then they turned the music up louder. Kanika could be seen allegedly by some in the reflection of Irene's sunglasses, but rumors that she was being sexually assaulted was proven to be unsubstantiated. Here is one of the Facebook Live videos with enhanced audio. Let's see what you guys hear, if anything at all.
We'll start with put her in the walk-in.
I told you.
Once more. Specifically targeting that sentence. Next is what many are claiming's Kanika saying, "Help me. Or help me please." Right before the 50 cent looking chick turns up the music. What we did was slowed the tempo on this one and tweaked the resonance and frequency to get it as definable as possible. Once again. Targeting the "help me" only. And last. Is what many have claimed to be someone saying. They're raping that girl.
What the fuck?
Let's hear it again, more targeted. Now, at a higher frequency with the tempo slowed.
According to another theory, her friends set her up to be raped for money. The incident turned fatal, then she was taken to and abandoned in the freezer. While this would explain why her clothing appeared to be falling off of her, the only surveillance videos we have been shown are of her walking alone, which I tend to lean towards it being altered, as we have seen in the case of Kendrick Johnson and others. It's also my personal belief that the Elisa Lam video was also altered, but who knows? Skeptics started to flood her friends Irene Roberts and Monifa Shelton's social media pages. Finally, Monifa had enough and made a post saying, "Can y'all please leave me alone, bro? We've been best friends since third grade. We did everything together, literally everything. We used to call ourselves the Nene Twins. We slept together, ate together, broke bread together. That was my ace. It's hurting me. I never thought I would be doing this. We're supposed to be taking trips. We had shit planned out. I'm so sorry, G. We are sisters for life." She went on to post, "Bro, all of us was drunk off our shit. I'm not pointing fingers at nobody. This shit hurts so bad. To know you was just enjoying yourself with your best friend when I haven't been outside in so long. Y'all need to shut up. For real, I'm sick of this shit. Y'all just want to hear yourself talking. Just pray. I've been doing all I can to look for her. I never would think some shit like this would happen. It could have been any one of us. I hate that this is even happening. I will never hide nothing. Just pray. I know he hears us. God, we need you right now." This was also posted on Twitter. I can't confirm if the post is real or fake, but it does look real to me. However, can't say if it is or it isn't. But someone said Irene posted this and deleted it immediately afterwards. It was an alleged Facebook post that was posted to Twitter, in which Irene supposedly says, "Okay, so we all ready to get fucked up, right? But we needed guys at the party, and it was my 19th. So, of course, a bitch was gonna get smacked that night. But everything was going well, until Bontarius brought all them goddamn boys in the room, and they asked us, was we thoughts? And Kanika said, hell no, that's not how I get down. And after that, everything went left, because I had knew I had brought the wrong crowd to my party. But we was just gonna turn up, and who would expect something like this was gonna happen all in one night? But nobody was raping Kanika during my live video, and I only went live to try to throw a hint. If you don't catch my body language, then you wouldn't understand. I was really crying under them glasses the whole time. So next thing you know, me and Nika was on Snapchat, and two boys run after we done recorded, and was trying to keep Kanika in there talking about, I want to holler at her, and shit, but I'm not finna lie. She was a little tipsy, but wasn't sloppy drunk. I didn't leave from the bathroom until motherfuckers moved around with they thirsty ass. But all I can remember is Kanika being behind me and us telling her to enjoy herself. And she said she wasn't that drunk. And that was that. So I turned back around to talk to Vontarius about him and his, because Kanika ain't feel comfortable and turned back around after 5 minutes. And she was gone. I never walked her out of the room. I never watched her get raped. I didn't set her up. I walked around the whole hotel looking for her because I was familiar with the hotel because I worked there. That's how I was able to get the room for the night. But I couldn't find her and nobody wanted to help, so I left it alone. Come to find out, these boys was plotting this shit the whole time. On some old ass beef, Kanika's brother had with them boys. So after all that shit, I was looking for her for hours while our other friends sat in these boys' face. The boys was ready to leave all of a sudden. Next thing you know, I'm bugging like a motherfucker because she was my responsibility. Bontarius had agreed to set us up for $200, and they were supposed to rob us, but Kanika disappeared, so I think their little scam was already done, and they was trying to bail the hotel. That's all I know. I don't know how she got in the freezer, but I have everybody's address. Trust me, I didn't kill my best friend. Hashtag Kanika World. We may never know what exactly happened to Kanika Jenkins. There are also rumors of Monifa and Irene moving away because of death threats. I hope that someday, somehow, Kanika's mother, family, and real friends have some kind of closure. This case bothers me so much, and I think about it often. My condolences and prayers to the Jenkins family. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If there are ever any updates, of course, I will definitely do an update episode. Until next time, stay safe and take care. I love you.